Matthew chapter 23. The message today is about the easiest and the hardest thing in the world to do. Matthew chapter 23, and let's look at verse 29. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you build the sepulchres of the prophets, and garnish the tombs of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our fathers, we should not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore ye witness to yourselves that ye are the sons of them that slew the prophets. Fill ye up then the measure of your fathers, you serpents, you offspring of vipers. How shall you escape the judgment of hell? Therefore, behold, I send unto you prophets and wise men and scribes. Some of them shall ye kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute from city to city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed on the earth, from the blood of Abel the righteous unto the blood of Zechariah the son of Barachiah, whom you slew between the sanctuary and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. Look at verse 33. The question Christ asked, you serpents, you offspring of vipers, how shall you escape the damnation of hell? Now, Mark chapter 10. Mark 10. Verse 23. This is one of the saddest portions in the Bible, because it seems as if a young man who has run after the Savior, asking about salvation, it seems as if he's going to trust Christ as Savior. But the Savior put one test to him that he found impossible to pass. The test of covetousness. He was a man who had great possessions, and he said, sell what you have and give to the poor. But his countenance fell, and he went away sorrowful at that saying. And look at verse 23. And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were amazed at his words. But Jesus answered again and said unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished exceedingly, saying unto him, then who can be saved? Jesus, looking upon them, said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible with God. And now John 5, verse 39. Search the scriptures, because in them ye think that you have eternal life, and these are they that bear witness of me. And you will not come to me, that you may have life. I receive not glory from men, but I know you, that you have not the love of God in yourselves. I am come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can you believe, who receive glory one of another, and the glory that cometh from the only God, ye seek not? How can you believe? Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, from the few words that we have read this morning, we understand why some said about him, never man spake like this man. Our Father, the words that he spake are words that search the soul. They're words that are incomparable because no man has spoken words like these. We thank you, Father, that we are not dependent upon men to live and pass on these traditions from mouth to mouth. We know how long this was necessary, but the things spoken by thy Son that was recorded for us in the book that we've read, and we believe that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Therefore, our God, these words are the words of thy Son, the words that can deliver us from hell, that can enlighten us, that we may go to heaven. We remember what thou dost say about Timothy. From a child he has known the holy scriptures that are able to make him wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ. And that is our desire this morning, that these scriptures that make us who are without wisdom wise, who impart life to us who are dead in trespasses and in sin, shall find a place within us and shall cause us to become children of God. Apart from thy Spirit working in the heart, this can never be accomplished. So by thy Spirit work, we pray. And we confess our sins. You promise that if we do this, you shall be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse. Do that for us, our Father, and empower him who speaks, that what is said may not be in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and in much assurance. Bless our time together, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen. If you ask me, the easiest thing in the world to do, I would answer, why, get saved. And if you ask me, what is the hardest thing in the world to do, I would answer you, why, get saved. You say, well, how can that be? If it's the hardest thing in the world, why are you telling me it's the easiest thing in the world? And if it's the easiest thing in the world, why are you telling me it's the hardest thing in the world? Because all of us who have trusted Christ as Savior, when we think back over our salvation, we laugh and say, it was the easiest thing in the world. Well, how did you get saved? I simply believe. That's all you did? That's all that I did. Well, was it hard? It took me 19 years to believe. Some men, it takes 50 years, and some men never believe until they're on their deathbed. And so you say, well, it must be hard. Well, it depends entirely upon how you look at it. It is so easy that anybody who has the power of thought can be saved. If a child wants to be saved, a child can be saved. Because the Lord Jesus said, except ye be converted and become as little children, you shall in no wise enter the kingdom of heaven. So little children can believe. It can't be hard. And it can't be hard because in a moment of time, a person passes from death to life. And if you ask, did you lift a finger? You say, no. Did you give all the possessions that you had to purchase it? You say, no. Did you work day and night to merit it? You say, no. Well, what did you do? You say, I simply believe the message that God gave us concerning his Son. I simply believe that Jesus loved me and died for my sins and rose again. And what happened? When I did that, I passed from death to life. Then what did you do? You say, I believe. It's that easy. Think of that. That is how easy it is. So why is it that it's so easy so few people get saved? It's because of all the enemies that are against you to prevent your soul from being saved. That is why. You understand that you are your own worst enemy. There is within you that fallen, sinful nature that loves the world, the things that are in the world. There is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. All of these things are in you, and they would prevent you from trusting Christ as your Savior. And at the same time, Satan, the god of this world, is exerting all of his power to keep you from being saved. And all of the benefits God has bestowed upon you, human nature will twist them, and instead of causing them to draw a man in thankfulness to God, it causes him to set his eyes upon these things, and it says, covetousness, which is idolatry. And so all of the good things that God gives turn out to be things that in some instances keep us from trusting Christ as Savior. So think of these three questions that Christ asked, and you'll see why it's so hard to be saved. In Matthew 23, the Savior said, "You serpents, you offspring of vipers, how shall you escape the judgment of hell?" Well, if it's so easy, why didn't somebody say, "Why, it's the simplest thing in the world"? Because the Lord Jesus knew all that was against man, pulling man down, chaining him, ensnaring him, holding him back from trusting Christ as Savior. He knew all of those things. And he said, "How can you escape the judgment of hell?" You say, that's remarkable. That he who came and gave salvation as a gift, who said, "Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." He said, "How shall you escape the judgment of hell?" And so in Matthew 23, the Lord Jesus says, it is something that is so difficult that even I am asking the question, how shall you escape going to hell? Now, in Mark chapter 10, understand this. The Lord Jesus is looking at a young man that has been blessed in every conceivable way. He has been brought up in a home where the Word of God was honored, where the commandments, our responsibility toward God and toward man, have been imparted to him, and the Spirit of God is stirring up his soul, wanting to know about eternal life. He has had all of these advantages, and not only so, but God has blessed him as to the material things of this world. And he comes to the Savior, and the Savior says to him, "Sell what you have, and give to the poor, and follow me, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." And the man turned his back on the Savior and went away, because his possessions were more highly prized than eternal life, treasure in heaven with Christ. You say, well then, having done that, what comment did Christ say? He made this comment. He said, "How hard is it for them that have riches to enter the kingdom of God?" The Lord Jesus said, "It's hard." And they were amazed when he said that. And that is to show you that many things that the teachers of the truth of God tell you are not accepted at first. When you tell a man God's way of salvation, when you tell a man how easy it is, he will not believe it. When you tell a man how hard it is, he will not believe it. And therefore the Savior, the truth from heaven, said, "How hard is it for them that have riches to get to heaven? How hardly shall it be that a man who trusts in riches gets to heaven?" And they said, "Who can be saved?" And this is how hard it is. It's so hard that nobody will be saved if they are left to themselves. How hard is it? The Lord Jesus said, "With man it is impossible." Will you remember that? Not one of you will ever be saved if it's left to you. You say, then all hope is gone, because I am the one who must be saved. Yes, you are the one who must be saved. And Jesus is the one who must save you. And having dashed all fleshly hopes to the ground, the Lord Jesus adds this ray of hope. He said, but with God, all things are possible. Well, how hard is it? It's so hard that man at his best, using all his strength and all his wisdom, will discover it is impossible to be saved. It is so hard that unless God intervenes, man will never be saved. Who then can be saved? The Lord Jesus said, nobody. With man, it is impossible. And I'm glad that he added these words, but with God, all things are possible. Then you, helpless, unworthy sinner, can never get to heaven by what you do, by your merit, by what you give. But thank God, having dashed to the ground all hope of the flesh, the Lord Jesus says, with God, all things are possible. So those that are in the dust and in the dung heap, God can lift you up. And those whose sins are as scarlet, God can make them white as snow. But only God can do this. All right. There is another. The Lord Jesus in John chapter 5 is talking with those that are champions of orthodoxy. They listen to the things that he says, and they accuse him of blasphemy. Why? Because the Lord Jesus called God his own Father, making himself equal with God. And they said, this is blasphemy. And so if the Lord Jesus did things on the Sabbath that they did not think should be done on the Sabbath, they said, this man breaks the Sabbath. They were those that watched the actions of men, listened to the words of men. And yet the Lord Jesus said to these religious observers, he said in John chapter 5, how can you believe? I want you to keep this in mind, because those who say, well, what is to be will be, those who say, why, if God is going to save you, you will get saved. Well, just listen to the thinking of the Lord Jesus and what he said. He said, how can you believe? Showing us this, that there is cooperation. That when the Spirit of God works upon a man, the man must respond. Unless the Spirit of God does work upon a man will have no inclination to come toward God. But when the Spirit of God does work upon a man, that is when a man must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and only then is he able to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But the Savior says this, how can you believe who receive the glory of men, but the glory that cometh from the only God you seek not? And so the Lord Jesus, speaking of the difficulty of salvation, has told us three times how difficult it is to be saved. He says three things. He says to the religious Pharisees of his day, how shall you escape the judgment of hell? He says concerning the rich young ruler, it is impossible for a man that trusts in riches to get to heaven. He says concerning these religious observers and critics of everything that he said and did, he said, how can you believe? So I understand this, that whereas all I have to do to be saved is to believe from my heart that Jesus Christ died for my sins and rose again, there is ever so much preparation necessary in my life and in the life of every believer before he is prepared to believe, before he will believe. And because of that, that is how hard it is. Now, when it finally happens, it's the easiest thing in the world. But until it does happen, it is the hardest thing in the world. The Lord Jesus, first of all, is wondering how these religious leaders of the day are going to escape the judgment of hell. Did you know that Jesus believed in hell? You listen to what the world tells you. God is love. Since God is love, there is no place named hell. It is something that man makes up. God would never do such a thing. Well, isn't that strange that the Lord Jesus believed in it? And why would the Lord Jesus warn people and speak to them about escaping the damnation of hell if there were no place like hell? You say, yes. Well, did Jesus believe in heaven? Oh, yes, and I believe in heaven. Well, did Jesus believe in hell? Well, evidently he did. You just quoted words that he spoke from Matthew 23. The same Savior who believed in heaven believed in hell. And the same Savior who said, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you. He also said, depart ye cursed into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. The Savior believed in one as much as the other. And he believed in the bliss of heaven, and he believed in the agony of hell, because he himself spoke of those who in hell lifted up their eyes, being in torment. And the Lord Jesus warned, and he wonders how men are going to escape the judgment, the damnation of hell. He wonders, while at the same time he knows, at the same time he wonders when he understands the nature of man, the heart of man, the rebelliousness of man, the stubbornness of man. And the Bible says, he that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. And the Lord Jesus knows the hardness of men's neck. Now, the Savior is able to look into your heart. He not only listens to what you say, he looks into your heart. And would you not think this? Suppose some of the saints and prophets and righteous men of the Old Testament had been stoned, had been murdered, and then their bodies were cast aside as carrion. What would you think of some who at a later date saw to it that graves were dug, that memorials were set up, that stones were inscribed, writing the righteousness of these men? You would say, why? Well, that would be proof that these men were good men, that they did not believe in what was done. Not in the least. I want you to understand that some of the people who contribute to the upkeep of the cathedrals and religious buildings of the world, if the Lord Jesus were to come back and tell them that they were serpents and offspring of vipers, and remember, that is your condition in the sight of God. As for the goodness of God, the Lord Jesus said, you serpents, you offspring of vipers. What is so sad is this. He tells me what I am personally. I am a serpent. Well, what about my ancestors? He said, you are a serpent and you are the offspring of vipers. And so, that is the nature of man, and that is the condition of man until he's born again. The Lord Jesus says concerning man, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children. So, even though we're evil, we know how to do good things. We love our children, and we give good gifts to them, and we show kindnesses to people that show kindnesses to us. But at the same time, the Lord Jesus said, you're evil. And the fact that a man is garnishing the prophet's tomb and caring for them, wanting to hold sacred their memory, the Lord Jesus said, even though you are doing this, your very nature is going to be manifested by the way that you treat me. When the prophets of old came and preached against the sins of Israel, these adamant sinners rose up against them and slew them. And now the Lord Jesus is telling these very ones who are taking care of their tombs and honoring the sacred memory of the prophets, and they're saying this, if we lived in the days of our fathers, we would never do such a thing. And in a few days, they are going to condemn the Lord Jesus Christ to death. They're going to turn him over to a cruel nation, the Romans. They're going to have him scourged and crucified. And they're going to walk around the cross and say, ha, thou that savest others, save yourself. Come down from the cross and we will believe that you're the Messiah. They're going to do precisely to the Lord Jesus Christ what they said. If we were living in the days of our fathers, we would never do such things. The Lord Jesus said, you're going to do precisely the same things. And your fathers were serpents, and you are the offspring of serpents, and you are serpents. And therefore, it's not what you say. It's not whether you come to church or not come to church. It's not whether you go and place memorials and flowers as they do on Memorial Day. And yet some that would do such things, their life would violate what those flowers in memory of the soldiers who had died stand for. And those that come to church on Easter, why, they should be coming to commemorate the fact that Jesus died and rose again. And yet, I venture to say this, that you are no different from that rich young ruler, and you are no different from these hypocritical Pharisees, and at the same time, you desire the glory and the pleasures and all things that the world gives you more than the things that God wants to give you. You are no different from those that you would condemn. And you look at those that had Jesus Christ crucified and say, we would never do it. Well, then why do you not turn from your sins and trust Christ as Savior? Because your heart is with Christ the way they were. And if the Lord Jesus came and said, turn from your sins, release, let go of those things that are encompassing you now, that are chaining you, that are keeping you from fellowship with God, you would say to the Lord Jesus, I'm not able to do that. Of course, you're not able to do it. Why? Because you fill up the measure of your fathers. And those that said, the things that fathers did, we are ashamed of. We would not do such things. No, you would do worse things because the Lord Jesus, the Messiah, came. And they slew the prophets and the righteous men. And they slew the Son of God. They did not know who he was, but they slew the Son of God. None of the rulers of this world knew who he was. Or had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord. Glory. But they slew the Lord Jesus Christ. And what the Lord Jesus prophesied here was fulfilled when they nailed him to the cross. And they were no different from their fathers. And he said, how shall you escape the judgment of hell? I want you to understand that our Savior, in his goodness, has done everything divinely possible to enable you to escape the judgment of hell. Because the Savior said, behold, I send unto you prophets and righteous men. Think of this. God knows the end from the beginning. And yet he is willing to take a good man like John the Baptist and tell Herod, it is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife. And God knows that it's going to cost John the Baptist his head. He sends him still. The Lord Jesus Christ sends prophets that are going to testify to the sins of Israel. He knows that they are going to be stoned, rejected, cast aside. He knows all these things are happening, and yet he sends them. And the Lord Jesus said, I send unto you prophets and righteous men, and some you shall scourge and crucify and slay. He says, that is what I'm doing to prevent you from experiencing the judgment of hell. And he said, in spite of that, you are still going to destroy these ones that I send you to save your soul. You say, how good is God? God, who looked upon us in our sins and sent his Son from heaven to save us. But not only that, had God sent his Son from heaven and then said to man, now, I've had this historical fact accomplished. I've written a book. You may go and read that book if you want to, but I'm not going to send anybody to encourage you to repent and turn from your sin. It would have been enough. Had God simply said, there is a message, there is light in the midst of darkness, it would have been enough. But God has done more than that. He has sent his Son from heaven. He has borne your sins in his own body on the tree. And he has sent prophets and righteous men, evangelists, to tell you the way to salvation. And in spite of all that he has done, you reject the message and you rise up in rebellion against those that tell you the truth of God. And in spite of all that, Jesus still loves you. And he does not want you to experience the judgment of hell. But he knows that if your heart is not changed, and if you do not repent, it's impossible for you to escape the judgment of hell. And the Lord Jesus himself said, how shall you do it? And so as long as a person continues in his hypocritical ways, notice, he says, you're like whited sepulchres. Oh, a whited sepulchre, yes, beautiful on the outside, white, clean. He said, but inwardly, you are full of corruption and dead men's bones. That's what happened. Here is the world, outwardly like whited sepulchres. And the Lord Jesus said, on the inside you're full of corruption and dead men's bones. How can you escape the judgment of hell? The truth of the matter is that you must beat upon your breast after your own passion and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. These men are not saying they're sinners. They're saying, we are not sinners. We are not like our fathers. The Lord Jesus said, you're worse than your fathers. And they're saying, we are not like our fathers. The first thing a man has to do is to repent. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus is doing everything to bring repentance, because repentance comes by the Word of God, the truth of God, telling man what he is. We are born in sin and shapen in iniquity. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. God tells us that. And if we say, no, we are not, we are different from other men, the Lord Jesus said, how shall you escape the judgment of hell? But if a man will humble himself and acknowledge the truth of God and say, oh God, I am that sinner, I know too well, then God will tell him about the friend and savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus. And then he will understand the love of Christ. And all the things that were so precious to him, the things that ensnared him and chained him, he will discover that they have no power to imprison him any longer. And the Lord Jesus can free him. And in a moment of time, he is free. And he's joyful. And he's become a child of God. And he can quote this verse. I have heard God's word. I believed on him who sent me. I passed from death unto life. I shall not come into condemnation. I have eternal life. I've heard the voice of the Son of God. I'm in his hand. I'm in the Father's hand. And no one can take me out of his hand. Those are the things a man will say whose heart has been reached by the convicting power of the Spirit of God, whose eyes have been opened as to the salvation that is in Christ alone. He is the one who will say, why, it's the easiest thing in the world. But what about all of those years that you spent in sin? You spent in degradation. You spent in rebellion against God. You would say, I know the truth of those words. The way of the transgressor is hard. It is hard, yes. But now that the Spirit of God has brought you to this point, what do you have to do to be saved? You say, all I have to do is believe. And is that hard? You say, it's the easiest thing in the world to do. So what's the hardest thing in the world to do? To get saved. And what's the easiest thing in the world to do? To get saved. And I want you to understand that God acknowledges both. Some people are harder to save than others. And nobody is easy to be saved, in the sense that unless God did save the man by sending his Spirit, by drawing him, by that man saying, yes, Lord Jesus, he would never be saved. And so the Savior wants us to understand that. And then after it's all over, you say, it is so easy. And that is the folly of new converts. I remember when I was first saved, and you remember? I was saved in 1946. Think of all of those years that I've been saved. Over 45 years I've been saved. And once I understood it, and I trusted Christ as Savior, I said, it's the simplest thing in the world. It's the easiest thing in the world. I'm going to convert the world. I'm going back and I'm going to tell my mother, and I'm going to tell my grandmother, and I'm going to tell my friends the way of salvation, and I'm going to save them all. And I went in and I told them, I said, do you know the way of salvation? Why, no. Well, this is what you do to be saved. First of all, you acknowledge your sin, and then you simply believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're saved. And they look at you, and they say, you're insane. It's impossible. That's the way of salvation. That is God's way of salvation. And I remember those looking upon me when I was first saved, bringing that simple message, not telling them about baptism of the church or prayer, but telling them about the precious blood of Christ. Trust him as your Savior. And they listened, and they sounded as if it were a strange thing coming to their ears. Christ is the Savior of sinners, and all I do is believe. In fact, I had a notorious gambler that I told the way of salvation. His life had been one of greed, of gambling, of crime, of sin. And I told the man, I said, in spite of all that you've done, what you are, all you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And he said, you are insane. Those are his words. He told me I was crazy. Why? Because he knew that after the life that he had lived, something more had to be done than believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, that can't be it. And then I was telling him the easiest thing of all to do. And Paul speaks about it, quoting from Deuteronomy in the book of Romans. He says, it's not hard, it's easy, it's mighty. The way of salvation. But what is the salvation? He said, it's not going up to heaven and bringing Christ down. It's not going to hell and bringing Christ up. Those are the things that man would say, yes, I can understand that salvation. It's bringing Christ down from heaven. It's bringing Christ up from the grave. That's salvation. That would be hard. But you don't have to do that. Paul says, what does the Word of God say? He said, why, it's nigh you, in your heart and in your mouth, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so if a man is drowning, as Peter was, he simply said, Lord, save me. And then the Lord Jesus put out his hand, and he saved him. And all that a sinner does today is to say, Lord, save me. And God, by his measureless grace, saves him for absolutely no reason at all other than God's love. And so that is what God wants us to know. That salvation is so hard that nobody would ever be saved unless God intervenes. But once God intervenes and the Spirit of God convicts you of sin and righteousness and judgment and shows you what you are and you acknowledge what you are and you look unto Jesus and see salvation in him, then when you trust in the Savior, it's the easiest thing in the world. And that is what God wants you to do. I told you that he has sent preachers, prophets, righteous men, to bring the message to you that you might be saved the way that he's doing today. But more than that, he's left us a book. Listen to this. It says, many other signs, miracles did Jesus, which are not written in this book, but these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Salvation is as easy as opening a book and reading Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Believe that, and thou shalt be saved. So, how easy is it? It's as simple as saying yes to the Lord Jesus. May this be the day that you find not the hardest thing in the world, but the easiest thing in the world, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are so glad that thou hast brought us face to face with reality. The treasures and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life and the glory of men and all the things that seem so important in this world. Indeed, Father, they are chains from which we can never escape. It's so hard to be saved. But our God, we are thankful that your Spirit can break these chains, can show us the worthlessness of the things that we consider so precious, and can show us the most precious thing of all, thy Son, the Lord Jesus. So this day, open our eyes and incline our hearts toward Jesus, and may we say, yes, Lord Jesus, and experience the easiest thing in the world. In his name we pray. Amen.